I am Doug Friedman.
And I am Meredith Levy.
And this
is Your Mental Breakdown,
the podcast. That worked.
That worked. Should we do that? Should we switch positions entirely? Should I be you and you be me?
Oh my God, yes.
I've actually done that with clients before too, where I've actually switched seats with them. Mm-hmm. So they'll sit in my chair and I'll sit on the couch, or I'll be the client, they'll be the therapist. And as the client, I'm them. And they could try to channel what a therapist would sound like. And it's fun. Ooh. I've done that quite a few times actually. And one client, he was in my chair and he was like, ooh, I feel the power. And he's like rubbing the armrest, like, ooh, I feel it. I'm like, yeah, you like it? You feel smarter? He goes, yeah. I said, yeah, well then must not really be working. He goes, no, this is good. And literally maybe a minute in, like when we were like, all right, well, let's do this. He just went, all right, let's switch back. I can't do this.
That's amazing. That's so good. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. So how are you doing, Doug?
Well, I can't. I went out to dinner last night for the first time in 13 months.
Like in an actual restaurant? Like you went
yes.
to a restaurant and sat indoors?
Yes. Yep.
What is the world coming to?
I know. It was crazy. It was so nice. It felt, there were maybe 5 tables in the restaurant that normally hold like 20 or something. And then everyone else was outside. And the waiter came up and he was like, hi, hope you guys have been healthy. And he said, I have a double vaccination already. And I was like, cool. So do we. And he was like, great. So
was he masked?
He was masked. Yeah. So it was really nice. I'm not going to lie. It felt normal as I have felt for quite a while. And good food, good drinks, great company, and just a great night overall.
And right. And they have the never ending coffee pot there at Denny's, right?
They have the Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity, I believe.
Oh, you didn't get the Moons Over Miami?
It's over my hair. It's so good. Oh God.
I'm still on the indoors in a restaurant. Okay. So 5 tables normally hold 20 people.
20 tables, probably.
Or 20. Were the tables cleared out or were some tables just empty?
Empty.
Empty. So they didn't create more space by removing tables. They just didn't seat people at certain tables.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, actually, okay. No, we moved to orange tier, which I don't actually know what that means, but I know that at the red tier, you were supposed to have 8 feet between tables inside. I would say it was like 6, but I felt fine with it. I was very content with the whole thing. It was lovely.
That's nice.
Yeah. And then also I was house sitting again at my sister's and I had the dogs again.
Yeah.
Bernie Doodle, Golden Doodle. And I had them for the whole week, the week before, and then like half the week this last week. And I missed them so much. And we had naked time. I took off their collars completely. Mm. And we just had naked time. And it was so fun. Oh my God.
Fond memory of my first dog, Franklin, when he was a puppy, when we were in DC, the first bath we gave him, he was shivering. And he did not like the towel drying, didn't really take. He didn't really like that.
Yeah.
Hair dryer scared him. So, well, all right. I took off my shirt and put him on my bare chest and put a towel over us and just let him be on my body and feel my body heat. Cause when he grew, he was over 100 pounds.
Yeah. But he was gigantic.
At that point, he was tiny. He was like, well, tiny, like 15, 20 pounds of puppy.
Oh, what a little nugget.
Right. Such a great bonding little experience that I loved. And it was super, super sweet. I was told also by a trainer once that a dog will reach the like IQ level of a 4-year-old and then it will pretty much stay there. So anything, if you think of what a 4-year-old is capable of doing, you can't expect more than that from a dog, but that's where they'll plateau. That's still actually pretty good.
Totally.
Oh man. So how you been other than eating in the restaurant and you haven't gone to a movie, have you?
No, I'm dying to. I'm waiting until the one in the Palisades opens because A, I don't like to leave my bubble, and B, who doesn't want to pay $30 to go see a movie when it's like, it's just, they're such small theaters. It's like a really wealthy person's screening room, basically. I think it's max 40 or 60.
Wait, wait, are these the theaters that have the seats that recline all the way, that have the waiter service that comes to you? You can drink alcohol in the theater.
Well, that's the only reason I go. Yeah.
Right.
I used to sneak in my own flask. I'm just kidding. I never did that. Well, not never say never, but.
You want to hear how dorky we were as kids? And I blame my mom with all the love in my heart. We would sneak in our own snacks, but we would sneak in like the health food snacks, you know?
My sister and I do that to this day. And we always did it with the kids.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because like, I mean, I'm just not a big like movie theater nacho person. Don't get me wrong. It's probably good. But yeah, we'll like cut up apples and stuff and then also eat the candy though.
Right. Sure. Because you have to have your red vines.
Yes.
But yeah, we would do the, remember the little pretzels with peanut butter inside?
Those are so good.
Yeah. That was a big winner.
Yeah.
Speaking of sneaking stuff in, when I was, this is not the segue. This is not the segue. Don't get excited. So when me and my friends that were also somewhat your friends were going to like rock concerts as kids, getting dropped off by our parents. So we were still probably under 16.
Right.
I remember once we found somebody's stash of alcohol in the bushes somewhere in one of our friends, one of us, it was in the neighborhood. We were like, oh my God, look at this stash. And it was alcohol. And when you're like 15 years old and curious about that stuff, that's like jackpot. So we like hoarded it. And I remember going to a show where we each shoved like a can of Budweiser in our crotch because we knew as like 15 year olds, we're not going to get frisked. And if we did, we're not going to get caught, but we're also not going to be able to buy beer at a concert because we're kids.
Right.
So we all snuck in and we all had our warm, very warm can of Budweiser. It was fantastic.
The good old days. Speaking of the good old days.
Oh, yeah. Should we get into some Drew's good old days?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we have one episode and a tiny bit of another one, right? Back to back?
Yeah, so sort of bad news, good news. Bad news is the following week's episode cut off after like just a couple of minutes. So we're going to throw it on at the end of this one because the content is fairly similar with what we've been talking about and you guys will hear it. We get into some relationship stuff, so you guys will hear that. And then Mer and I will test our relationship when we break it down and go at each other.
Yeah.
As we always do, because we always disagree.
Always.
Always. Every time. Jinx.
When did they ever
know 9-10? It's like, it used to be Jinx, buy me a Coke. And then you had to wait until somebody said your name.
Yeah.
Before.
You're right.
Yeah. Yeah, that would make for a pretty lame podcast, though. If we jinxed each other, then I couldn't talk.
That would be really lame.
On that note, I'm going to stop talking so you can listen to me talking.
Oh my God, so true. Okay, we'll be back.
About a girlfriend, how it's not a forever thing, it's a right now thing. That really resonated with me. And so I've really been reflecting on that over the last 2 weeks. And I'm kind of putting it in perspective for myself because I'm getting out of the honeymoon stage. And it's becoming a lot more real now. I mean, last night I come home from work and she was like, yeah, we're out of toilet paper. And I'm like, what'd you do today? Like, what did you do today? And she was like, nothing. I haven't felt good. And I'm like, I understand you don't feel good, but it's literally across the street. Like, it's across the street. And so I'm trying to explain that to her and like, hey, this is stressing me out. It's a little too much. I need you to help me here. And she kind of turns around and is like, well, maybe we rush into this and I don't want to do this anymore. And I'm like, I begged my last girlfriend to stay. I'm not doing that again. You either want to be with me or you don't. I love you dearly. I have a lot of fun with you, but I'm not going to beg you to stay. It's a very dependent relationship.
Yeah.
In the sense of, I mean, without me right now, she wouldn't have a place to live. She wouldn't have food. She wouldn't have a ride. Ground up, it's kind of on me. And normally I love that. normally I thrive off of that. And I have been over the last couple of weeks. And I think I really have been like, yes, like she needs me. This feels so good. Mm-hmm.
I recognize this and it feels good.
Yeah. And so I kind of took a step back from that. And there's been some caution flags that I've seen and we've talked about. And now those are kind of getting into like the warning signs of like not quite a red flag, but very like almost like a dark orange. I think what I'm going through right now is I felt like I was in a good spot with her. And now we're getting more into reality and what that looks like. This last weekend, we're going to drop off kid, or we're picking him up from her baby daddy. We get down there and she decides to drink all day with her stepmom. And I looked at her on glass number one. I'm like, hey, we're picking up your son. Can you just control yourself and like be good for a little bit? Like you shouldn't be trashed going to pick up your child. And so we get there and she was like, this isn't how I want it to be. And just started bawling. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, what happened? And she was like, I didn't want a broken family. She still loves him and isn't over it. And so the conversation I kind of had with her was, hey, it took me a really long time to get over
old girlfriend.
And I had to do that for myself. And I went through a large portion of it, quote unquote, by myself. I had people around me, but
right.
I didn't jump into another relationship to get out of that feeling, mm-hmm. which is now how I'm feeling what she's doing with me. I'm looking for a serious relationship and I'm not going to put myself out there to what this is turning out to be. And I'm not sad about it. I'm bummed. You know, I'm bummed on it.
Yeah.
But I'm not
good.
Like, oh my God, this is it. Like, this is the end.
You're showing more strength in yourself right now. And there's, you know, this reminds me of a couple of things here that we've talked about before. One is, as you're describing a lot of this stuff and where things are and what triggers you and what doesn't, what you're okay with, what you're not, and what she's doing and how that affects you. Remember when we talked about rules versus boundaries?
Yeah.
What do you think of that in terms of what's going on with the two of you guys?
I think in that I'm in her car. And for me to say, don't do it, she didn't give a fuck. But for me to say, hey, I'm not going to be a part of that while you do that, I think is where I need to be. I try way too hard for that to pull me back down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not fair to me and how I want to live. Right. At the end of the day, it's not how I want to be. And so, yeah, we're kind of at a crossroad right now, I think. And I think the hard part for me in that is I want to sit her down and be like, this is what you're not doing anymore.
You can have that sit down, but what you just described was giving somebody a rule. That's going, let's sit down while we're in your car and I'm going to tell you how you're driving wrong.
Yeah.
How else could you approach a sit down?
I don't know. My initial thought to that was I'm just not happy in the way things are going.
Yeah. Oh, something wrong with the way I drive?
Kind of. Like, yeah.
Yeah. And that's the key is you can drive however you want. I'm not okay with how you're driving. I'm not okay with some of the choices you're making. And some of the things that you're seeing are, yeah, orange warning flags. Orange, like, hold up, this needs to be addressed because it's either going to turn red or it'll go back to white.
Yeah.
One of the other things I think about, we talked about also, that idea of like attracts like, looking where who's going to fit in with you, not where do you fit in.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear some of that mentality again. What do you think of that?
I don't know. I think with her specifically, I do fit in with her. And I think I want her to fit in with me, but I don't know if she is. I've tried to get her to help me with projects and tried to help her get jobs and work and get her going. I even tried to do it as, hey, what do you want? And I think I'm looking for that in her and it's not there, but I want it to be there. And that's why I'm pushing it so much. I think it's easier for me to push than just to be like, oh, that's not who you are.
And the push is eventually going to push somebody away or push them over.
Yep.
One or the other. Just by nature of it, it doesn't push them closer to you.
Right.
And think of a definition of love I've thrown on you before. It being the four things we need, the dedication to yours and another's personal growth, and it has to be reciprocated.
Yeah.
Clearly, you're dedicated to your own growth. You're doing this. You're dedicated to others' growth very much.
Yeah.
Hey, what is it that you really want to do? What's your goal? Yeah, we can work towards that. Let me help you. Let me do this. Let me do that. Almost to your detriment sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm so giving of others. We can calibrate that, but we also have to look for the other person. We want somebody that's dedicated to their own growth and dedicated to my growth. So they support me.
Yeah.
Yeah, she might be thrilled that you're doing well and doing this and doing that and support you. But if she's just not dedicated to her own growth, there's an issue there.
Yeah, well, and within that too, she's almost made me feel bad for working. It's just like, I don't feel supported. When I show my dad something, he's, oh, let me see it. How do I get it? Where can I buy it? What's it all about? Very interested. When I bring a new hoodie home to show a girlfriend, I'm like, oh, look at this. This is so dope. This is why it's sick. She literally said this to me the other day. She's like, it's like you're bragging. And I'm like, no, I'm just excited and I'm just trying to share it with you. And she was like, well, I don't do that. So why do I care? I'm like, but this interests me. And she was like, yeah, but I don't understand it. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I get it. I get you don't understand it. So let me teach you a little bit. And she's like, no. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Pause all that stuff for a second. Let's go back. Sorry, cliche therapist time.
Yeah.
How did you feel?
Shitty. It felt like my mom was saying it to me.
Yeah.
I bounced off. I was like, okay, like if you're not interested, like I can't force you to be. It's not your fault. This is important to me though. That sucks.
Did you say that?
Yeah.
Good. I'm actually proud of you for not saying it's fine.
Yeah.
We said it the other day. Remember what fine stands for?
No, but I remember I loved it.
Fucked up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional.
Yep.
Yeah. It reminded me of my mom and it fucked me up. I felt insecure. I felt neurotic about things and I got emotional. And I didn't want to. So what did I do? I went home and got baked, or I plugged into a video game, or I started working again.
Yeah.
Because I'm fine. I'm that definition of fine, not actually okay with that. Like, you were almost saying, oh, it's okay that you don't understand or it's not your thing. It's my thing. I can tell you about it. And what you got out of your dad was enthusiasm for what you were doing. Wow, look at what you created. Look at what you did. How did that feel in contrast?
Incredible. Like, incredible. Yeah. Nothing like it.
And then we have mom who just wasn't present for it.
She literally just like left. She didn't say bye or anything. She just like wasn't there.
Yeah. Sort of like I'm over here doing jumping jacks, trying to get your attention. You do that, you're eventually going to get tired of doing jumping jacks.
Yeah. And I am. I already am tired.
There you go. Yeah. What's hitting you right now?
I think the added stress of kid on all of this too, because I don't want to hurt the kid like at all. But I also am not going to be in a relationship long-term that's going to fuck him up long-term. I'm just not going to do that to him. The 2.5 months, 3 months that I've seen a girlfriend, the 2 months were amazing and I loved her like exactly how she was. And now I'm understanding or getting deeper into it. And I'm figuring out that she's been lying about a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And this is where the boundary comes back in. Or she's got her own shit. But there are emotions that are coming up for you.
Mm-hmm.
When I asked you a second ago, how did that feel? Like, it felt like shit, right? Yeah. If there's just one emotion, I'd be surprised. I think there's several. So that sort of realization that, oh, she's been lying. Oh, wait, this isn't who I thought it was. This isn't who I want it to be. This is who this is. This is what. How does that feel?
Feels like I'm back to square one. I don't want to say it, but I will. It's just reinforcing the fact that everybody get close who leaves at a certain point. I feel like everybody lies to me on some level or another. It's been like really big stuff she lied about. And right. Then I find out she has $20. And I'm like, okay, that's a completely different story. So these aren't small little lies. And it reverts me right back to my mom. And now I already don't trust her. For a couple of reasons. It just sucks. This shit sucks. I'm in a better spot now because I know I'm going to be okay. And, yeah. and I know my shit's good. Like, I'm good. It just sucks to have to go through this again.
Yeah, it does. You're right. And the feelings that are coming up for you, I want to name some of them because sucks isn't a feeling.
Anxiety, loneliness, scared, excited. I'm going to throw that one in there. Excited. One more.
One more. I bet I can name five. Funny, the thing I just sent you, it's a wheel of feelings. I'm going to just go down a couple of these. Let's see. Angry?
Yeah.
Frustrated?
Yeah.
Hurt?
Yeah.
Distant?
Yeah.
Lonely's on there?
Yep.
Yeah. Stupid?
No.
Okay. Ashamed?
No.
Rejected?
No.
Insecure?
No.
I like this because, and naming these emotions, I think are important to kind of look through, like, what am I feeling? What am I not feeling?
Yeah.
Some of the things you were saying, yeah, I'm hurt, I'm frustrated, I'm angry, but I don't feel I don't feel that. The things that you were describing tell me you've got ego strength. You've got some strength in who you are and how you are. That's awesome. Even though there's the anxiety and scared, we can logically say, I've been through this. I know I'll be okay. I'm still anxious and scared right now. That line I busted on you. Is this a threat or does it remind me of a time when I felt unsafe and felt that threat? Yes, this reminds you of that time. That's why everybody always leaves. Does everybody?
Majority.
Majority. Okay, but that's not everybody.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of people.
Yeah.
Always leave?
No. Yeah, right. Most of the time, but not always.
Right. So a majority of the people most of the time leave.
Yep.
Is different than everybody always leaves. It can feel like that because we think that, but the thought is not right.
Yeah.
I want the feelings to come out and validate them, which we just did. You have more strength than you realize. That idea of most people, a majority of people leave most of the time. Okay. Let's look at some of those people in terms of who you would invite in to fit in with you. The like attracts like, the reciprocity. Mm-hmm. Are they people that you would actually want to be in your life with that level of reciprocity that they have? Not the level of reciprocity you want, but with what they were able to give you, are those people that you would actually want in your life?
I don't know how to answer that because no, I haven't found anybody in my life that's ever given me necessarily what I wanted. I mean, even down to my best friend, he left for 3 years and made up bullshit that I was addicted to heroin and trying to do all this shit. So it's like, even my best friend's done it. Everybody in my life, whether they've come or gone, still here or not, everybody's done something.
Sure. So have you, right?
Totally. Yeah. Everybody in my life so far has left to a degree or another. They've come back and we've worked on things. Me and
friend,
we're great. That's my best friend. I'll die with him. That's my boy. But I'm still not as close to him now as I was before all that shit happened. I love that guy. I love him to the death of me. But it's still not everything that I want.
Right. And it's quite possible that you're not going to get everything that you want.
I just want somebody that cares, though.
That's different. And the reciprocity isn't necessarily we have to keep score and make sure it's equal on both sides.
Right.
Just doesn't work. You're just begging for a fight. But when I say reciprocity and you say, no one's ever given me what I give them. Okay. 10 minutes ago, you just said, I give too much.
Fair. That's fair. Yeah.
I mean, look, if you wanted someone to give as much as you currently give, you can have a wonderful, beautiful, codependent relationship. We're calibrating it on both ends.
Right.
The end where you're learning not to give everything of yourself so you have nothing left. Mm-hmm. You did that with
old girlfriend.
Felt like shit.
Right.
You started doing that with girlfriend. And it's feeling like shit. Mm-hmm. And that's where you're starting to have more strength in yourself and a sense of your own boundaries, which I love hearing from you.
Hell yeah.
I can't give all of this with nothing in return.
Uh-huh.
I can get something in return that isn't everything, but something.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what I'm trying to say with girlfriend. It's like, I don't need you to go get a job. I just want you to go get toilet paper.
You're saying the Rolling Stones song, you can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, you can get what you need.
Yep.
Like, yeah, let's get our need met. I don't have to get every want met. And part of the conversation can be, here's what I'm feeling. Here's what's happening. Here's what I'm not okay with. And that's a tough conversation to have anywhere, anytime, anyway.
Yep.
You're building the strength in yourself to recognize your boundaries and what you're okay with and not okay with.
Yep, exactly.
Really, what you're doing, it's an extension of what we've talked about before, like cultivating the people I want around me.
Right.
You don't want people that give so much of themselves that they aren't a real self anymore.
Right. I don't want that either. And what I'm seeing too is she spreads so thin. It's hard for her to focus on me when she's focused on everybody else. When I've chosen to solely focus on her, I don't let a lot of people in my life anymore. Because I've been down that road and I didn't like it. And now I'm very selective with who I let in my life. And I have a small circle, but my circle is the best people in my life. And that's how I like keeping it. I'm just not having fun anymore.
It's not just I'm not having fun. I'm not feeling validated. I don't see the reciprocity. I'm being lied to. This isn't how I want to be treated. She doesn't have to give you everything.
Just something.
Fucking roll of toilet paper, man.
Just a roll of toilet paper.
There's another element of your relationship with her that I think weighs on you. You sort of mentioned it a little bit because it sounds clear like the relationship was fun. It was different for you. You got to practice. We talked about practice. You got to practice being how you wanted to be in a relationship. You can still calibrate that on your end. You're kind of doing that where you're realizing, wait, I'm giving too much. I need to rein it back. You're figuring that out, figuring out your boundaries. But the piece that I picked up on is you'll be fine without her, but you're worried about the impact on a kid.
Yeah.
That's a tough thing to take on.
Superman me is more so saying that I don't like the situation he's in and I want to take care of it. I can't.
Yep.
And it's frustrating. Yep.
That's the frustrated. That's a big piece of it. I want it to be different than it is. What we talked about before is sometimes we can't change that.
Right.
We have to allow it to be what it is and accept that without liking it.
Yeah.
If you had the option to see a kid every month for the next 16 years and be a presence and throw a ball around with him and teach him stuff and do all that, I have no doubt that you would see you nodding, that you would be
absolutely.
Like, right. So how do we not do that and make it okay? Because that's her kid, not yours. And a lot of it might be a projection.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at a child, an infant that can't really express things or say things. And you're feeling that abandonment.
Absolutely. Because I don't want to do what happened to me to him. I'm so afraid to leave or not be in this relationship anymore because I know how that feels. I do want to work on it. But I'm also seeing boundaries and where I fit into that. On one hand, I know where I need to be.
Where's that?
I want to be alone. I got too much on my plate and she's not helping me and she's adding to it. And while the fun kind of masked that for a while, the reality is that that's not what's healthy for me and what's best for me. Mm-hmm. Just right now, it's just not the right time.
That's the cliched line of, I need some time and space. Usually the response to that is, why? What's wrong? What would you say to that?
Well, what I want to say, I'm not at my best in this relationship. And while I love you, I can't give you long-term what I want to be able to give you because it's just weighing on me too much. And the stress is getting to me and it's just adding on. I want a relationship where we can have conflict, but resolve it together. and get through shit. I don't want to, oh, well, this sucks, so I'm leaving. That's happened to me my whole life, and that's what she's doing now. And so it's like, it's not what I want. I don't want that. I want to be able to work on stuff in a mature, calm manner, not a screaming fight and any of that bullshit, because I don't do that. And so it's like, sit down and talk to me. Like, let's just have a conversation and see what happens. And I think at the end of the day, the bigger picture of that is I want a mature relationship. And this is not a mature relationship.
Yeah.
It's got elements of it. And I saw stuff that I really liked.
Anything has the potential to mature. And what you just said, here's your clarity. You just said this, what I want. And one of the things I listen for, Rules and Boundaries 101, are you pointing your finger at them or are you pointing it at yourself?
Yeah.
Am I saying, well, I want somebody who's going to do this and you don't do this and you don't do that and you need to do this and you... Everything that you said when I asked you what you wanted became you pointing at yourself.
Yeah.
I'm giving too much right now and I need this and this is what I'm really looking for. That it was about you.
Yeah.
I didn't even prompt that in you. You just came out with that. Really? I can almost guarantee, even if you point the finger at yourself and say what it is, how she's going to receive the message.
Right.
She'll feel attacked, even though you're not, and she'll defend or offend.
Right.
And then it'll be bad and ugly, and then be like, I'm out of here now. And that's how we make things so bad that we end it.
And that's what I'm about to go walk into, to go have that conversation of, this is where I'm at. I think the worry for me at this point too is more so losing my boundaries. They're very paper thin at this point. I don't want to get caught up in a conversation where I start apologizing and I start bending over backwards again just to keep her in my life. Like, I'm not going to do that. But I know myself and I know that's my tendency. And so I'm very curious to see how this conversation goes. And I will definitely report next week and let you know what happens. I don't know. It's going to be a new one for me. Cause like, I know my boundaries and where I want to be, but in the heat of the moment, in the heat of the conversation, I don't know what that looks like. I have a tendency to put people before myself in situations where I shouldn't. And that's my biggest fear at this point. Not that I'm not okay losing her. I am. Like, at this point, like, I really am. But when I see her and she's right in front of me, I already know like how I'm going to feel.
What you were saying is I have a tendency to tell people what they want to hear so they won't go away. I think your biggest fear is doing that.
I think my biggest fear is losing myself in this.
Well, yeah, you already have.
Yeah, fair. Yeah.
That's why I feel so uncomfortable and why I don't like it so much.
Right.
I've lost myself.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
You know you're going to be okay. You know you'll be okay without her if that's how it goes. It's going to be very hard not to revert to making her okay. It's what we talked about being okay with the discomfort. Got to go through that.
Yeah.
And you don't have to get it all right. And she might need to make it bad in order to end it. If that's what she wants to do. Okay. Pretty resoundingly, when I asked you what you really want, what you need to be alone.
Yeah.
Not lonely, but alone. You got support. You're lining it up.
Yeah, I'm building an all-star team, and we're pretty good so far.
There you go. You came in right out the gate with that level of vulnerability, that authenticity. And it takes so much courage.
It's been a wild ride so far, but it feels good. I think that all of this is for a reason. It's cool to kind of sit back and watch too, just to take a step back and realize where I was a year ago. That was just the beginning. And I mean, it's a complete, I don't even want to say a 180. I'm almost at like a 160 because I'm still going, but I just feel so much better. Day in, day out. So it's working. Definitely working.
Yeah. And I remember a few months ago, you said, you're literally like walking out of the office. We're like, yeah, cool. So how does this work? Does this mean I'm done? Do I stop? The relationship with the client and a therapist. It's one that you kind of dictate. You're the boss of it. It's your vulnerability, your ability to do this. It has less to do with me. There's sometimes clients will come in and they don't want to disappoint me, or they'll tell me something. They'll tell me certain things, but not other things. You have to know that that trust is there. And I think for you, what I've seen, the lightness for you is just allowing yourself to be yourself and do that versus how you have been changing yourself to fit them. Yeah, see, smiling. Like, I think you feel that and you recognize that.
So I was just thinking about that too. I quit last Friday. Feels amazing.
Oh, wow.
And then me and girlfriend had we had a long couple of days of talking and kind of hashing shit out and figuring out where we want to be, how we want to be, and what that looks like.
Hmm.
And I was just thinking about this not an hour and a half ago. I think the really cool thing now is that I thrive when I'm vulnerable, and I know that now, but I can also set boundaries. That's my practice, what I'm practicing kind of like right now with her, of where I want to be in my boundaries that I'm setting with her. It's nice to sit back and see that I'm able to set boundaries and be okay with that too.
And it doesn't have to be that all or nothing. Like, it doesn't have to be, here's my boundaries, so I guess I'm out. Peace. And we are back.
We sure are. And I would like to just jump off from the start and say, toilet paper. That's all I want to say. He does the jump off.
Right? Can't I just get some damn toilet paper?
Can't I just get some damn toilet paper? I mean, it was so good the way he said it too. He's like, come home from work, we don't have any toilet paper. Or she's like, we're out of toilet paper. And he's like, what have you done all? What have you been doing all day? She's like, nothing. I don't feel well. Look, I know you don't feel well, but literally across the street, I was dying. So funny. And by the way, she needed to just like Postmates some toilet paper or whatever. If she could not get up and go across the street, like, get creative, you know what I mean? Like, something. Apparently, based on what he said anyway, it would be his money she was using. So I'm guessing.
Yeah, that too. That's right.
And then her response was, I don't think this is working out, which I was just caught off guard by. I was like, what? Like,
right.
Okay. If you say so, because that's a high bar to set expecting you to get some toilet paper. Like, I love that he right away was like, I'm not begging her to stay. Like, I have done that before. And
yeah.
And then he said, this is a very dependent relationship. And I loved it. I loved how he didn't say codependent. I just thought that was so insightful, you know, because he's like, she is dependent on him. Like, she has no money, no place to live, no car. And normally, or in the past, he liked that, but no, and that's not for him and he doesn't want it. But I just thought, like, he really remembered you talking about the difference between dependent and codependent. That just like came right back to him.
Yeah. And I really like what we're seeing is he's having a better sense of his boundaries. He's having a better sense of himself. And he's feeling that to be able to say to her, like, yeah, I'm not begging you to stay.
Yeah.
You want to go? Okay. His tone is like, of course I'm going to be sad. Like, I won't like that.
Right.
I don't want that. But what he's recognizing, certainly in the therapy room with me, is I don't feel that codependent piece as much anymore.
Yeah. He didn't describe that anxiety or that huge stomach pit feeling of like instant abandonment, because he was just kind of like, no. And then he said, which I loved, those caution flags. He's like, they're like dark burnt orange. They're heading towards red. But like,
right.
I was like, oh, let's do like the color continuum of warning flags. We should do that. So good. But he talks about she's going to pick up her son and like watching her knock him back. And no, dude, that is not. Oh, he was like, no. And then again, she breaks down and she's like, starts crying, like, I didn't want a broken family. Like, what? How did it go from her going to pick up her kid, her getting drunk, and then all of a sudden basically saying, like, I'm still in love with my ex or whatever?
Where he is just going, right, I'm seeing all this stuff that she's doing. Those caution flags are getting darker and darker and closer to red. And what I'm hearing as a therapist is, he's recognizing it and observing it, but trying to figure out how to have the conversation without giving her rules. I really want to figure out where I am in this, and then I'll see where she is.
Yeah. The rules and boundaries thing. Again, I loved it. So you're like, you just said that. And he's like, I'm in her car. He just jumps straight to the car, the analogy that you guys talked about so long ago.
Yep.
But I love that. And here's the thing. At some point, because you said, oh, is there something wrong with the way I drive? And his response was like, kinda, yeah. And in my mind, I thought, you know what? Fuck. Like, I would love to just be able to say that sometimes instead of choosing to communicate really effectively. Sometimes I just want to be like, fuck yeah, there is something with the wrong with the way you drive. The way he said it, I just was like, yeah. Sometimes maybe we do just say that.
Yeah. And I think it's a balance for us as therapists, just out in the world. Well, therapy is just what we do for a living. We're still people. We can still do things. But the way that we think is often, oh, I'm not just going to say that thing. I'm going to say it effectively. I'm going to say it so they'll hear. And you know, if you study like conflict resolution and this and that, then you don't really get to have that reactive emotional. It doesn't come out as naturally anymore.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just got to let it out.
I know. Okay. You reminded him boundaries versus rules. Like he has to say like, I'm not okay with what you're doing. And it's hard to do sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah. And it's also when you realize that and you're seeing that, you can logically see that and you could see how things might be imbalanced or things don't gel. Okay.
Right.
But what I tried to do a couple times in this session was kind of go, okay, well, how are you feeling about that?
Yeah, you did. It was good. I liked it.
Highlighting that previously, a lot of how he was feeling was, I'm feeling anxious. I don't want her to leave. I'm feeling this. I'm feeling that. I'm feeling rejected. I'm feeling abandoned. And he wasn't really feeling that.
Yeah. One thing, you guys were talking about fitting in and stuff. And so he says, well, I've tried to help her get going, get a job, get involved in some of my projects or whatever. And I was like, that is not fitting in. That is like pushing her and trying to change her. And man, can I relate to that so, so much. And it's the helper / fixer in me and wanting to help somebody grow. And I'm was wondering, like, did she ask for help in any of those areas? Because I have like literally spent so many relationships doing things to help them change and grow and become quote unquote better people. And when they don't ask for it.
Right. So then who is that really serving?
Of course. Yeah.
Right. I said to him the thing about, or he said, it's easier for me to just push,
yeah,
and then realize like, oh, wait, this isn't who you are.
Right.
Like, yeah. And that push, eventually we'll just push them away or push them over.
Right.
He's at this place in relationships where he can see how he's been. He has points of comparison.
Right.
Previously, him wanting to help her get jobs or him wanting her to be interested in what he's doing, either one of those things is really trying to join and
right.
You want to become like one unit together. And that's the enmeshment. That's the codependence. That's
totally,
that's merging as one instead of being two separate, whole, complete beings.
Where did you get this love definition? Dedication to yours and another's personal growth that has to be reciprocated.
Yeah. You like that?
Did you make that up?
I came up with that after reading it in a book. Actually referenced it quite a few times. It's M. Scott Peck, The Road Less Traveled, which is a great book.
Oh, that's right.
And he says it, the dedication to yours and another's personal growth. I think he might say spiritual growth, either way.
Yeah.
It's those four facets, being dedicated to your own and dedicated to someone else's. And then they need to be dedicated to their own and to yours. And if any one of those four is not there, there's going to be an imbalance. And it doesn't mean like, oh, get out of there. It means, oh, recognize that imbalance, have the conversation, see where you are. And I think what we're seeing is she doesn't have a dedication to her own growth.
Yeah. And at the same time, though, when you said that, I was like, is it really not okay to not be dedicated to your own personal growth? Like, they're young. I don't know about you, but when I was that age, I was not dedicated to my own personal growth. I was in school because school was easy and I liked school. It wasn't because I was trying to grow and learn. Like at the time, I was just doing what I was doing. You can be doing it without knowing it or you can just not be.
I want to just pick at that a little bit, because that's growth, in a sense, can mean a lot of things. It doesn't have to mean your emotional maturity or the evolution of yourself as a spiritual being. Your growth at that time for you might have been about being in school, getting experience, having fun, and doing things and expanding yourself.
Right. But it wasn't conscious, is what I'm saying.
Right.
There was no consciousness to that being part of, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
What's that mean then? If she's not dedicated to her own personal growth, how do we know that? Because you can be, even if your actions show otherwise, can't you?
You can be.
I'm dedicated to my own spiritual growth, and yet I have a problem with alcohol or I'm depressed.
So, okay. So if you have a problem with alcohol or you're depressed, sometimes, not for everyone, but sometimes that's a way of avoiding something.
Sure.
And that's a way of not looking at something, not processing something. And that works for a lot of people. And that's right. Okay. That's a coping mechanism. I'm not making a judgment on that saying, oh, that's bad.
Right.
For him and where he is in his life and the kind of relationship he wants, he's looking for somebody that is not avoiding their stuff. He wants to have these conversations.
Right.
He wants somebody that, even if she was drinking because something in her life was very painful and she didn't want to realize it or recognize it or work on it, and he goes, hey, I'm noticing this. And she goes, you know, you're right. I am doing that. It's really hard. That's different. But I'm not hearing any of that. He's not portraying any of that.
No, totally. It just was interesting because love, does that have to be romantic love? If it's not, then is that true with kids and parents? You know, I was just picking it apart as I do.
Yeah. I think way, way back in early season one, I quoted a play. It's, again, makes me seem really well-read. But if you listen to me long enough, you realize I'm just quoting the same four things. It's the play Inherit the Wind. And it's two characters in there. And one character says, wow, you've changed. And the other says, all motion is relative. It's you who has changed by standing still.
Oh.
I love that. And I think I combined that with this idea of love and that idea of if somebody is stagnant and not moving forward, not developing, not growing, eventually you might outgrow them. Might.
Oh, for sure. 100%. That I believe it. Outgrow them for what you want, for sure.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And that's part of what I'm seeing here. And it doesn't mean you have to cut the cord immediately.
Right.
If you're seeing that you're outgrowing somebody, and I've had clients have this conversation with partners and with friends and parents, and other family members kind of going, hey, I'm kind of going over here. I'm crossing this bridge over here and you're still on that side. You can stay on that side, but I can't be on that side anymore. So
oh, yeah.
If we're going to have a relationship, we either have to meet halfway or you got to cross over.
Well, and that's one of the things I talk a lot about with people is in terms of long-term relationships. I believe one of the reasons first of all, marriage, when it was created, it was so long ago that we didn't live nearly this long. So you weren't right. spending right. 70 years with someone. You were spending 5 or 10 or, you know, whatever. So I think, but at right. this point, people get married in their 20s, 7, 10, 15, 20 years later, they get divorced because who the fuck, how hard is it? I cannot not imagine trying to grow with somebody in the same direction from when I'm barely have a fully formed frontal lobe. And right. and so I think a lot of people who get married in their late 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, that's who they stay with that person. Cause by that point they're like, oh yeah, I know what I want. I know what I don't want. Like,
yeah, it's interesting. I've friends who went to school together and they eventually got married, had kids. Their kids are now done with college in their 20s. And I remember talking to them about how that was to stay together that long and to be with each other through that. And they were like, honestly, there were times that were really challenging.
Yeah.
Because we had to grow and go right. through. We went through our 20s, 30s, and now into our 40s all together. So all these stages, we did it all together. And it was really challenging.
Yeah. The only person you know? I've done that with is like my family. That's it.
I mean, it's funny. We've known each other since we were 12, but we haven't been in each other's lives that prominently that whole time.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So I'll let you go back to now the fine. So I finally realized, I think maybe what it means. Cause I've always heard that. And I heard you talk about it last week or a few weeks ago. So fine, fucked up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional.
Right.
Is that what happens when someone to us, when someone else says fine?
Interesting. It could work both ways. If you think about fine is another way of just avoiding or shutting down.
Oh, you know, I do not tolerate the word fine, right?
Oh, I know. You write it on the board and cross it out. Like, you can't say this in my office. Absolutely.
No, but it really is now, when I was listening to you say it, one of the main reasons I don't like it is because of how it makes me feel when someone says it to me.
Exactly. But that's, I think that it goes to the same concept, which is when someone says they're fine, they're not really communicating how they're feeling. They're not expressing anything.
Right.
They're just kind of shutting it down. And if you're the one saying you're fine, sometimes you don't want to express anything. So you shut it down and say, I'm fine.
So who's the, so that means I mean, for all intents and purposes, I'm the fucked up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional one.
If you're the one shutting it down because you don't want to talk about it. Yes.
Yeah,
but
okay.
If someone says they're fine to you and you kind of go, well, are you really? Because it seems like something's going on. And they go, no, I'm fine. Then it will make you, the one hearing it, fucked up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. Because okay. I know they're not really fine. I know they're mad at me, or I know something's going on. They won't tell me what.
Totally.
Absolutely. Yeah. Works on both sides of it.
Okay. That's what I was like. Oh, okay. Also, dude, loved the jumping jack analogy. I was like, wait a minute. Yeah. So true. You're over there doing jumping jacks, trying to get someone's attention. You just get so tired eventually. I guess that was in reference to her being so mean and literally like shutting him down about clothes he makes or things he's designed or something he brings home to show her. And she's like, I don't know anything about it. No, why would I want to see it? I'm like, bitch, what are you talking about?
Right.
Like if I come home and show my dude my nails, like at least fake it. You know what I mean? If I'm showing you something, it's clearly because I want you to at least engage a little bit or show some interest.
Right.
Is she going to say that to her kid when her kid draws a stupid, ugly ass picture?
Right.
What is that? I don't want to see that. That's shit. No, like Drew said, you put that shit on the refrigerator with a magnet.
That's right. It's that thing where what he's kind of saying, going back to the toilet paper, is his MO is I'm over here, not just doing jumping jacks, but I'm trying to do everything I can.
Yeah,
I'm getting the toilet paper, the paper towels, the tissues. I'm cooking dinner. I'm doing dishes. I'm vacuuming. I'm doing everything I can to show her how I feel. And she's doing nothing.
Literally.
There's that imbalance. Like,
yeah,
man. And it's seeing that like stark contrast of I was so excited about something and I wanted to tell this to you.
Yeah.
As a therapist, I hear this and my wheels were spinning because when she goes, she said to him, it sounds like you're bragging.
Yes. Oh,
he's trying to bring you into something. He's excited. He's trying to
share.
He's
excited. Yeah.
Yeah. He's trying to share in that excitement with you. And I hear it and go, wow, she's probably really feeling a low self-esteem.
Totally.
And not a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
So instead of joining it, she's kind of seeing, I can't compare to that, or I don't feel great about myself.
Exactly.
Or, I haven't done anything. And I don't know what that is exactly at all. I'm pure speculating, but that's often where that will come from when somebody goes, it just sounds like you're bragging.
Right.
They're projecting their own feelings. They're just not communicating. And that's the fine. You're not fine. And he's not bragging. You are fucked up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional.
Yeah.
Which is okay if you recognize that.
Right. Then you mentioned, or you guys talked about how nobody gives to him what he gives to them, but he just said he gives too much. So he has to learn not to give all of himself so that he has nothing left. Like otherwise then you were like, then you'll have this lovely, perfect codependent relationship.
Right.
But yeah. So it's like, instead of being like, oh, no one gives me what I give them. Oh wait, but I give too much. Oh yeah. That wouldn't work. So give a little less.
Yeah. It's also funny to me, because I know you and how you've said this recently, like, don't show people your crazy side right away or act the opposite of how you really are, you know, all the bad advice you've gotten before and you've heard before.
Uh-huh.
And he even said at one point, like in the first couple months of how we've been together, I loved her exactly how she was in the beginning, but now I'm getting to see deeper and see that she's withholding a lot of stuff or lying about a lot of stuff. And that's where he goes, all right.
Yeah. And I was thinking about that. Like, what do you do? Because that's happened. And the thing is, man, a couple months in, especially in a COVID relationship, you're like, you're in deep, potentially in deep. And so, man, like, sure, the red flags, and there were definitely red flags toward the beginning that he maybe just pushed aside a little. So it sucks that you're like, oh, a couple months in, like, now I'm getting to know them and I don't really like who they are. So how does that happen? Is it because we were on our best behavior in the beginning? She was on her best behavior. Is it we weren't seeing the things? How do you navigate that? And then it's just like, oh, fuck. All right. Again, now I got to know her. Now I don't like these things. So now I have to leave or end it. And it sucks.
Or at least now I have to call these things out and see if we can have a discussion about them.
Right. You know?
And that's when people go to see a couples counselor. Sometimes when they're in this position, it's, we're recognizing now there's these issues. What do we do about it?
Right.
And it's, well, can we communicate about them?
Right.
You know, and I've said to couples all the time, I can't solve your problems, but I can help you improve your communication when problems arise, and we can right. see where you stand. And there might be things that just don't mesh, and that's okay. He's my client. So I'm looking at, can you name your feelings? Can we talk about what you're going through and process that? We do that. But in terms of the couple and Mary, your question, like, how does that happen? Why do we do that? I have one colleague who says, yeah, when you're dating somebody, you got to go at least 6 weeks or six dates. I don't remember what it is, before it gets physical. You really got to see if you can be friends first. And that's,
of course.
I know. I see the look on your face going, yeah, sure. Of course you do.
Of course.
Right. And most people don't do that because we have a physical attraction. We have chemistry.
Right.
We want to see if there's chemistry. We want to act on that.
Right.
The love drug is the best drug out there. We get a hit of that and we want more.
Right.
And it will get us quote unquote high on love, and we'll overlook red flags and a lot of things. And when that high kind of comes down and we go, oh, wait, who's this person over here?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, let me see if I can shape them and change them. Oh, wait, I can't. Well, let me see if I can change me. Oh, that's, I've lost myself. Okay. Huh. Then maybe this just isn't a good match.
And maybe I'll stay in it anyway.
maybe it's not a good match. I should get out of here in maybe 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. And then he said, yeah, I know what I want. I want to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, he started out the session by saying, I want to be in a long-term relationship. And I was like, oh, you want to be alone until you find somebody that you can grow with or that matches you. Because he said, she's adding stress to what's on his plate.
Right.
He's literally said, I'm not at my best in this relationship. And I think that is something that helps to me define love. Like, am I my best self, or am I even better than my best self? Or am I growing in this relationship? However that happens.
One of my favorite moments in, I think it's where the name of the movie comes from, As Good As It Gets, Jack Nicholson, Helen Hunt.
Yes.
They're at dinner and he's being rude or something, and she's about to walk out, and she goes, say something that will make me not walk out on you right now. And he says, you make me want to be a better person. And it's, wow.
So good.
Okay, that's great. It's not you make me a better person. It's you make me want to be a better person.
Yes.
So he can improve himself and do that, get over himself and grow. And yeah, I mean, relationships are all about growth.
Yep. And then I think it was you that said, she might just have to make it really bad in order to end it. And you know what? Mm-hmm. I have definitely done that in my life before.
Oh,
I just make it so bad. I just push, or I just instigate arguments, or so that I force the other person to end it.
Right. People will sabotage all sorts of ways, and they'll do it.
Totally.
They'll make it bad in order to end it, consciously or unconsciously.
For sure.
Such a hard thing, because just saying goodbye, just saying, hey, this didn't work out, this isn't working,
I know,
we should just, you know, go separate ways. I really appreciate the time that we've had and what we've done so far. And it was great. We never do that.
It's too hard. No. So yeah, then he just said that he's going to have the convo with her by next week, and he'll fill you in next week. And that didn't happen. So apparently, I mean, who knows? Because we only got to hear a few minutes of your session, but he did not break up with her, or as far as we know, not yet.
Right. what was cool is, again, I'm his therapist, so I'm looking at him and his growth.
Yeah.
He said something like, to think of where I was a year ago, man,
right.
I was so much worse off. And to say where I am now, it's, he said, I thought this was great. He said, I've done a complete 180. Well, maybe more like a 160, 170.
Totally. You know? That was perfect.
Right. And it really is like, yeah, he's been growing. He has been working on himself and changing. And really, I mean, even though you only heard a couple minutes of Drew and me talking, the rest of the session, a lot of it was just talking more about boundaries with his job too. He was looking at that and where he's putting his time and energy and where things are going with the relationship and how to do that. He drew a link to his mom, which was awesome. He said that he was worried that becoming so independent would mean he'll lose that emotional connection.
Right.
And with his mom, that was where he sees it the most. He still tries to take care of her and do things for her and all of that. He was holding on to so much about if he was there more, if he was better, she would have chosen me instead of drugs. She wouldn't have tried to OD. And then he realized, like, wait, I wasn't doing anything. That was her. That was her thing. And that was a codependent emotional connection that was really messed up. If I become independent, I won't need that kind of connection to her. I can have it. It frees me up to have a different kind of connection.
Right.
It was nice. And it's something I think we all go through with our parents, just kind of shifting how the relationship looks.
That's a big deal.
He made the link also in this episode with mom of like, I want to have an emotional relationship with you, not a financial relationship.
Right.
So if the finances is the piece that's keeping our relationship together, we need to separate that. And a lot of, you would have probably loved this, Mare. A lot of what we talked about was setting up his own checking account and savings account. He didn't even have his own bank accounts. It's just how it's always been. And he realized like, wait, I think part of me being independent is part of me growing up and having my own relationship with finances. And we drew a cool link to his own relationship with God and with church. It was one thing to be brought up the way he was going to church. At some point, it's not just him taking on his parents' relationship with religion. It's him figuring it out for himself and doing it the way he wants to do it.
Right. Which is, I think, growth. That's how we start to individuate and separate and create our own morals and values and beliefs with everything. And
exactly.
I'm glad he's starting to do that with finances because that is very important. That is one of my biggest things is helping people like transition into quote unquote adulting where we just learn. We learn to budget. We learn to learn about money and investments and whatever it is. Certainly having our own checking account, like that's a serious enmeshment there. And I'm glad that he's working on it. That's good.
And one of the big lines that we had in this was thinking of it as addition, not subtraction. Because he was thinking, if I take this out of our relationship, we're going to be missing this. But if I think of it more as what I'm adding now, I'm adding that I'm growing up, that I'm doing something, and I can get her guidance for these things. I can still get her financial wisdom.
Right.
I just don't need that financial control.
Totally.
It's a separation, not a rejection.
Aww,
I like
true,
that.
True, Drew.
And we got there by talking about his relationship with girlfriend. Because there he's feeling strong enough that the separation there isn't a rejection. He's like, I'm just growing. Okay.
You sure are, Drew. I'm so proud of you. You're killing it. You guys are doing great work together, Dougie.
Aw, thanks, Mayor.
I'm excited to hear what happens next.
Yeah, we will see. Never a dull moment in his life, that's for sure.
I hear that.
You guys will get more moments when we come back. We will see you next week. No, we won't. We don't see you at all. Be with you next week.
Yes.
Bye.